How do you preach 52 weeks out of the year and you never once talk about something Jesus did everywhere? We're in a deliverance revival right now. And this is because for the first time in history, social media is a thing. Now you have a church over here that rejects it, refuses to talk about it. Then you have the Lord raising up all of these voices online. And now pastors, they no longer can control the narrative. They can no longer keep this ministry out of the church.
Isaiah Saldivar, it's great to have you here on Charisma. And this book, it's great to have you part of the Charisma author family, How to Cast Out Demons. And let's just right on the front of this, you say this is everything that you need to know about deliverance. That's a big claim, Isaiah. Let's talk about that. This is everything you need to know. How did you come to know everything that that people need to know?
Yeah, so my journey with deliverance kind of, and it is a bold claim. When I decided to come with that title, they said, one of the people, I won't say who at Christmas, said, you got to make sure you add everything if you're going to put everything you need to know. And I think when people get the book, they'll realize every question they've had on deliverance, we try to find an answer to. But for me, it started with 13 years ago, I was actually an atheist. I didn't believe in God. I was raised in church, but just did not believe, just got hard-hearted, bitter, angry, everything you can think of. And then my little sister begged me for about 6 months to go to church. I told my girlfriend at the time, we're just going to go one time, get her off our back. I'll never go again. And I had not been in 3 years up until this point. So I'm about to turn 20 years old. I graduated high school at 16. I graduated college at 19. I was like the golden child, doing everything right in the world's eyes, yet spiritually I was completely dead. And so I go to this church and the pastor's preaching about world missions and I was just not moved at all. And then during the altar, he's like, if you want to come forward and give your life to Christ, I wasn't planning to go forward, but I literally felt something pulling on my shirt. I ended up going to that altar. And in so many words, I said, God, and I said a cuss word, I don't believe in you, but if you're real. And then I started saying, I'll give you everything, which I don't even know why I was saying this at the time, but inwardly, I so badly wanted there to be a God. I said, I'll move out of state. I'll break up with my girlfriend. I'll leave my job because I was getting hired as a deputy sheriff. I'll leave my job in law enforcement. I'll travel wherever you want me to go. And I just started making all these bold claims that if God was real, I'd do this. In that very moment, I hear an audible voice. I'm not full of the Holy Spirit at the time. I was full of the devil. And I heard an audible voice from above saying, Isaiah, I don't want 99.9% of you. I want everything. Give me your life. And in that, I went into some type of out-of-body experience where I was just seeing all these bright lights. And I was seeing myself preaching before millions of people. I was hearing the Lord talk to me about what he wanted me to do. I go from that to coming back to my body. And literal dirt was coming out of my eyes. And at that time, I had not cried up until for 10 years up until that point. I'm crying like a baby. So that's shocking me because I haven't cried in 10 years. I was just so hard-hearted. I'm speaking in this language that I don't even know what I'm saying. I didn't know about tongues because the church I was raised in didn't talk about tongues. The only time I ever heard tongues in my entire life was at 5 years old. I heard my parents praying in tongues one time. So here I am now. I'm speaking this language. I'm crying like a baby. Dirt's coming out of my eyes, literal dirt. I'm having this crazy experience. The pastor gets on stage. There's 500 young people at the altar. It's a big mega church. And the pastor says, there's a young man in here right now and the Lord's removing the dirty scales from your eyes. And wow. I'm just, made me cry even more. And I have this crazy experience. Long story short, I don't sleep for 3 days. I don't eat for 2 weeks. I literally went from death to life. I went from cussing every other word to 13 years later, I haven't said a word. I went from drinking every day to 13 years later, I haven't drank. I went from pornography every day, sleeping around, everything you could think of, to being living a clean life ever since that moment. I put my faith in Jesus. I realized my life, I was a sinner. In that moment, I realized everything I was doing, the parties, the drinking, the girls, was wrong. I felt filthy and I put my faith in the cross and was born again that moment. So that led into a revival broke out at my house. And this will all go into deliverance here. Give me like one more Pentecostal minute. A revival broke out at my house. My family got saved. My friends got saved. Literally everyone in my family, aunts, cousins, uncles came. It felt like everybody I knew got saved in my living room. We were having 300 to 400 people come every week to my living room. We were seeing people get out of wheelchairs. I had an aunt that was born deaf get healed. I had a cousin that was deaf get healed. I saw people that never walked walk again. And that led to a lot of my friends I was partying with were coming to my living room for this revival meeting and they were manifesting demons. They would literally walk in my living room and start growling, screaming, blaspheming God, slithering on the ground. And I was sitting there going, I partied with that guy last week and now he's on my floor slithering like a snake. So I realized like, this is spiritual. There's a spiritual realm. My uncle who's in ministry for 30 years knew about all of this. And I said, could we do this stuff? Like the Bible shows deliverance. Jesus cast out demons everywhere. And I didn't have this religious mindset at the time. I just thought, hey, Jesus did it. His disciples did it. The book of Acts did it. We're disciples. Could we do this? And my uncle, who had been in ministry for 30 years, says that he had in that moment had to decide, am I going to spiritually neuter them and tell them this isn't for today? Or am I going to tell them absolutely everything in the Bible you can do? And my uncle said, Mijo, was what, you know, we're Hispanic. He said, Mijo, everything in the Bible you can do, you can cast out demons, you can lay hands on the sick, you can preach the gospel. And that turned into us literally doing deliverance almost every single day on one of our family, one of our friends. And that led me into deliverance. And then now 13 years later, finally have a lot of those early stories and early things in a book form when the Lord basically said, it's time now to create a manual, make it easy for people, make it practical. I made a joke and said, if you're looking for a book where it's like Jezebel, Leviathan, all of that, that is not this book. This is a practical guide where any person can pick it up and understand how to cast out demons. In the book, I talk about things like how people get demons, all of the stories of Jesus casting out demons, signs you have a demon, items you might have in your home that open you to demons. I give like a 7-step method. I talk about stubborn demons, how to keep the demons out. So literally everything you need to know is all there in the book. But hopefully it could be a practical guide for people that want to get involved in deliverance ministry, because I firmly believe scripture tells us every person is called to drive out demons. It's not just for the select few, John. It's for every single disciple of Jesus Christ. They shall cast out demons. So I'm super convicted about that.
Yeah, I can tell you. And you're passionate about this. And I love the fact that you have been going online for several years now, and you're seeing deliverance happening digitally. And I just got to say, like, society is talking about demons more than the church, it seems. I mean, Just recently, Tucker Carlson says that he was physically attacked by a demon and it left bloody claw marks on him, which then led him to really reading the Bible and searching and for like the last year and a half or so, which hearing that testimony was wild. And then there's celebrities that are openly claiming that they are operating in the demonic. But the church just isn't even talking about it. I mean, you do a lot of videos and reactions to things that are happening in our culture and our world. Let's talk about the culture. But also, before we get into that, why isn't the church talking about demonic deliverance?
So there's a saying that ignorance is bliss is only said by the ignorant. And I think when we say the word ignorant, it sounds mean. You're like, why would you call the church ignorant? But the word ignorant is not a mean word. It means you just don't know. You just don't know something. And for a while, I was frustrated at the state of the church and the pastors, like, why, Lord? Why don't they do this? Why aren't they talking about it? And the Lord's like, Isaiah, they're just ignorant. They just don't know. They've never learned about it. They don't believe it. And so I think that's where the church is at, because we haven't seen it. We haven't been taught about it. We're ignorant to it. But the problem is, you can't read the Gospels and say that this isn't happening, because it happened all throughout Scripture. And what the Lord's been showing me even this week was, Isaiah, you're not pointing people to something new. There's nothing new. There's nothing we're pointing to. There's no new doctrine in the book. You're not going to find like a new revelation. You're actually pointing people back, the Lord's been showing me, to ancient paths, to what the Lord did. So this is not a new teaching. This is an ancient teaching that's been forgotten about, that's been lied about, that's been rejected, that's been put in the corner somewhere that people are afraid of. But the bottom line is, now we're at a place where the devil is hidden in plain sight. And that means he's out in the open now. He's trying to hide, but he's in plain view, where like every Grammy show, every celebrity event, we already know if there's a Grammys, there's going to be a bunch of demonic stuff happening on stage. We already know if it's a Super Bowl halftime show, a bunch of demonic stuff on stage. Any big platform the world has, it's always demonic. It's always dark now. And that wasn't the case 50 years ago.
No,
so I feel like the devil's really taken the gloves off. He's not ashamed anymore. So my thing is, if the devil's not ashamed, if he's unapologetic, we need to be unashamed. We need to be unapologetic. He's not apologizing for demonizing our kids, so we shouldn't apologize for delivering our kids. He's not apologizing for wrecking our families with pornography and divorce and anger and the new age. We shouldn't apologize for setting the captives free, for seeing deliverance, for seeing miracles. So yeah, we're at a time where the world is actually open to talking about these things, and there's a biblical way to do it. It's all through the scripture. We look at like Mark 1:39, Jesus went from synagogue to synagogue casting out demons. We look at Matthew chapter 10, he told the 12 disciples, go cast out demons. He didn't ask them, John. He didn't say, if you feel like it, if you want to. That was the commission. Then in Luke 10, he tells the 72, go cast out demons. And then in Acts chapter 8, we see Philip, the only named evangelist in scripture. What is he doing at his first crusade? He's casting out demons and healing the sick. So this is inevitable through scripture. You can't avoid this. As his disciples, I want to make it very basic. If I'm his disciple, I'm his representative. 2 Corinthians 5 says, we are Christ's ambassadors. So I look at Jesus and I go, okay, very simply, what did he do? He healed the sick, he cast out demons, and he preached the gospel. Those are the three things he did. Like, this is objective. Those are the three things he did. So as his ambassador, as his follower, as his disciple, John 14:12, he says, you're going to do the same works I've done and even greater, because now I'm going to the Father. Wouldn't it make sense, John, that we as his disciples are called to do the same works, not only that Jesus did, but the disciples did, the early church did, and that includes casting out demons. That includes healing the sick. That includes preaching the gospel. Every single person watching this right now has a friend or a family, and this is no debate to this. You have a friend or family that needs deliverance. And you can't just say, I'm going to bring them to Isaiah Saldivar's deliverance event. I'm going to bring them to my pastor. No, you're called to set the captives free. Mark 16, the first sign of being a believer is these signs will follow. In my name, they'll drive out demons. Like, imagine, John, that's the first telltale sign. You meet somebody on the street, you're like, oh, you're a believer? Yeah, oh, me too. Oh, so you cast out demons? Like, that would be crazy. People would look at you like you're nuts. Yet in the book of Mark, it says that will be the first sign that of a believer is they will cast out demons. So I think it's essential that we do that. The world deserves it. The world needs it. The church needs it. Our friends and family need it. We really need compassion. We need to be heartbroken over the state of society. I refuse to believe that we are the most depressed generation in existence. I refuse to stand around while we're the most suicidal generation ever. The devil is pouring out a spirit. That's true. Just turn on the news, turn on the television. But the Lord is also pouring out his spirit, which is greater, which is more powerful, which has more authority. And as his believers, we have the same spirit that raised Christ living in us, and we're called to do this work. So I believe it's needed now. I think this whole book coming out is timely. We're in this era, this generation that's hungry for the spiritual realm, and we're really giving them what they want, and that is, tell me what Jesus did. Tell me about Jesus, and this is something Jesus did everywhere.
You know, I'm really loving the fact that, you know, Charisma, we've published a number of people's, you know, part of the Demon Slayers group, you know, with you and Alexander Pagani and Mike Signorelli and Vlad Savchuk and, you know, depending on, you know, who else might be part of that group. But you guys are all friends. You're all in ministry together in some way, shape or form. Greg Locke. And we love just seeing what the Holy Spirit is doing at this time in history. There is a renewed focus on deliverance, but that still brings me back to this question of why has the church not paid attention to this? Why has the church kind of let this go to the side? And it's almost like those are the strange people that do deliverance over there.
Yeah.
Or like those are the weirdos. You know, let's take this out of the main service into that back room there and get those people help that way. Why is this? Let's talk about this a little bit, because we are missing something that God tells us that we're supposed to do.
Yeah, it's the pastor's job. That's the straight up truth. The pastor leads the church. The pastor's the one, whatever his vision is, that's the direction of the church. So if we look at the modern church and say, why is deliverance not happening? We have to point it to the leaders. We have to point to the leaders. Like if there's a bad policy in the country, we don't blame the citizens because we have no power over that. We blame the leaders that the citizens elected and go, why are the leaders not doing their job? So I look at the pastors and say, it's really their job. I've told pastors before, how do you preach 52 weeks out of the year and you never once talk about something Jesus did everywhere? I mean, think about that. You gave 52 sermons and you somehow skipped over what Jesus did in every single city he went to and what the disciples did. And so it's necessary as leaders, we're trained and equipped to cast out demons. It starts with the leadership and then leads into people. Okay, so now we're in a place where, you just said it, John, we're in a deliverance revival right now. Mm-hmm. And this is because for the first time in history, social media is a thing, right? Like 10 years ago, there was no short form content. 10 years ago, going viral didn't really exist. Well, here now you have a church over here that rejects it, refuses to talk about it. Then you have the Lord raising up all of these voices online. They're not waiting for permission from a local church, which I love the local church. I pastored for a decade. I'm a part of a local church. Mike, Vlad, and Pagani are all senior pastors of local churches. So I love the local church. But here's what you have now. Online taking off, going viral, and now pastors, they no longer can control the narrative. They can no longer keep this ministry out of the church. So because our videos are getting, you know, millions and millions of views, the first deliverance video I ever posted on TikTok got 15 million views.
Wow.
So you can't now avoid the deliverance now, because like everybody at my church is asking why we don't do it. Everybody at my church is asking, why is it happening online? They're giving verses. It's in the Bible. It's theologically sound. So pastors have no choice now but to embrace it. Just 3 weeks ago, we were in the Now Arena in Chicago. 10,000 people gathered. And at the very end of the day, we had mass deliverance with 10,000 people, packed out arena. So it's like, you can't ignore anymore what the Lord is doing. And it all points back to the cross. It all points back to Jesus. Isaiah has no power. Mike has no power. Vlad, Pagani, none of us have power or authority. All we're doing is pointing people back to Jesus and saying it's in his name that we cast out demons. It's in his name that there's power and authority. And so now I could tell you, pastors that would never invite me, never do deliverance, never want anything to do with it, are now starting to do deliverance, are now starting to get deliverance. I just talked to a guy today who said, my pastors of a large known megachurch, he literally just told me today, I won't say who, my pastors just went through deliverance. So now it's like, even these big, big, big churches, our pastors are going through deliverance. They're starting to teach it. They're bringing people in. I've been in some large churches that 5 years ago, I would have laughed if you said, they're going to bring you in to teach on deliverance. I would have been like, they would never invite me. And now they're inviting me because they're seeing not only is it working, the world needs it and the church is hungry for it. So now I think we're seeing that ignorance break. And of course, the books, the videos online, I have 2,200 videos on my channel. So like, we're teaching people, we're training people, we're going through the Bible, and it's waking people up to this truth of what Jesus did.